Rabbi Yosef Grunfeld, Tisha B'Av.
Omar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Lama Nikra Shimon, Anshei Knesset HaGdoyle. Rabbi Shua ben Levi asked the following question, a famous Gemara in Yuma. Lama Nikra Shimon, Anshei Knesset HaGdoyle. Why are the men of the Great Assembly called Anshei Knesset HaGdoyle? Shechziru Atorah LeYoshna. Because they restored the Hashem's crown to its original glory. Very famous Gemara. Why is that? What was the glory of the Ribbono Shel Olam, which had sort of disappeared and now was restored? Moshe Rabbeinu, when he described the relationship between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam, Klal Yisrael has experienced 40 years in the desert, they've seen Nisim, Venefloes, Yisit Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, Mon, the Be'er. So they had a very, very close relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Moshe Rabbein describes the Ribbono Shel Olam in the following terms: Ki Hashem Elokeichem, Hu Elokeinu Elokim, V'Adonehu Adonim, Hokeil, Hagodol, Hagiboyer, V'Hanoiro. Asher lo yisofonim v'lo yikach shoychad. Ribbono Shel Olam is Elokei Elokim, the great, the mighty, the awesome, who does not show favor and who does not accept a bribe. So he described the Ribbono Shel Olam, or the relationship between them and the Ribbono Shel Olam, as Hokeil, Hagodol, Hagiboyer, V'Hanoira. 900 years later, when it comes to Yirmiyot's prophecy, when Yirmiyot describes the relationship between the Ribbono Shel Olam and Klal Yisrael, he misses out the word Noira. These are the words he uses. Oise chesed lo alofim, umeshalem avoin ovois, elcheik b'neihem achareihem, hokeil, hagodol, v'hagiboyer, Hashem tzvokoi shemoi. He misses out the word Noira. And 70 years later, when Daniel prophesies in Bovel, he misses out the word Giboyer. So what happened was that once Moshe Rabbeinu described the Ribbono Shel Olam as Hakel, Hagodol, Hagiboyer, V'Hanoira, and his esteem, as it were, was lowered, the crown was lowered, because Yirmiyahu would not use the word Noira, and it was lowered still further because Daniel would not use the word Giboyer. How could Yirmiyahu and Daniel drop these words? Yirmiyahu dropped the word Noira. Noira means fearful, awesome. Hashem allows no favor, takes no bribe. He doesn't show favor to anybody. To understand why Yirmiyahu dropped the word Noira, we have to understand the circumstances in which Yirmiyahu gave this nevuah. Yirmiyahu was in jail. Yirmiyahu had been clapped into jail by Tzidkiyahu HaMelech. Tzidkiyahu HaMelech had been prophesied against by Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu had prophesied that Tzidkiyahu HaMelech would be taken by Melech Bovel, by Abud Nebuchadnezzar. He would be dragged to Bovel and he would die there. And Tzidkiyahu was so furious that he put Yirmiyahu into prison. And Yirmiyahu has a vision. He has a vision, he has a nevuah, and he already has visions and nevuahs of what would take place in Yerushalayim. And at the time when he says Hokeil HaGodol, HaGiboyer, and he misses out Noira, Nebuchadnezzar was already besieging the whole of Yerushalayim. The siege had already begun. He was in jail, and the siege had already begun. This is the circumstances in which Yirmiyahu prophesies. And he saw the visions, he's already seen all the visions of the king of Bovel, of Nebuchadnezzar, all his troops, all his hordes, entering the Kodesh Kodshim, entering the Heichal, desecrating the holy vessels, and nothing happened. And if we extend this nevuah further, a nevuah, we extend not Yirmiyahu's nevuah, we extend the circumstances further to the Bayis Sheni And we look what took place in the Bayis Sheni. The Gemara in Yoma tells us that in the Bayis Sheni there were more than 300 Kohanim Gedolim. If you work it out, over the 420 years, without going into detail, the Gemara works out that some Kohanim Gedolim was 80 years, one was 80 years, another was a little less, but altogether you'll find that Kohanim Gedolim, they weren't Shnosom, they didn't live out their year, because they went Bifnai Bifnim into the Kodesh Kochim Yom Kippur, they weren't worthy, and they died on the spot, and they had to be dragged out. 300 Kohanim Gedolim died. And yet you find that Titus was able to go into the Kodesh Kodoshi with impunity. And we just read in the Kinos what he did. He took a harlot and placed in the Kodesh Kodoshim and placed the Sefer Torah under them and committed the most despicable act. And then he goes to the Pareches and he takes his sword and he slashes the Pareches backwards and forwards 1,000 times until blood comes out, the Medrash says. And so he says, he's killed the Rebbeinu Shalom. That's what's going on in the first Beis HaMikdash, a place where Yisrael would never dare to go into a Heichel. And the second Beis HaMikdash, 300 Kohanim Gedolim died, and yet Nebuchadnezzar and his hordes in Babel and Titus with his hordes in Rome are able to go into the Beis HaMikdash with impunity. Says Yirmiyahu, Nochrim Mekarkrim Beicholai Ayenoyosehov. Nochrim Makarkarim. Makarkarim is an expression, Rashi says, they're Merim. They clamor, they mock, they laugh, they blow their trumpets in triumph. They trample. Where's his Noira? Noira means that you don't get away with it. Hashem shows no favor, he takes no bribes. Nobody gets away with it. And here they are doing things which 300 Kohanim Gedolim died for. How can that be? Ayin Aroisov. Couldn't say it. 70 years later, we find a nation, Klal Yisrael, living in misery, downtrodden, bedraggled, and Daniel is amongst them. Daniel can't say the word Gibor. Where's your Gevura? We were also once in slavery. Zayishor were in slavery, and then all of a sudden Ribbonshu came with his Gevura and he slaughtered the Egyptians with the Esem Makas and Kriyas Yamsuf. He showed his Gevura, and here we are in Bovel and we don't see anything. We're downtrodden. Aye Gevuraisov. He couldn't say it. So through Yirmiyahu and through Daniel, the Atorah, the crown of glory which Moshe had established for the Rebbeinu Shloilam by describing him as Okeil HaGodol HaGibor VaNoiro was now diminished until the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila came along, and they said that you don't have to translate Gevura and Noira in the way that Yirmiyahu and Daniel understood it. Gevura can manifest itself in another way. One way of Gevura is to show your might over the enemies, to conquer. There's another Gevura, Ezu Gibor HaKovish Et Yitzroi, when you hold back. The Rebbeinu Shlom held back his retribution from Klal Yisrael because sometimes he has to send out a message. It's a correction mechanism. He has to create a situation where corrective measures are put in place. Klal Yisrael can never get away with it. They are Asher b'chabonim mikol ha'amim. They have a mission to carry out, and that will carry on until the time of Mashiach. They will never be able to mix with the other nations. And therefore, sometimes when Klal Yisrael goes wrong, Kodesh Baruch has to put in place corrective measures. But in putting in place those corrective measures, imagine the Gevura, the Chilul Hashem that takes place. The Chilul Hashem that takes place. That here they are going to the Beis HaMikdash and tearing it apart and doing whatever they like, which Kohanim Gedolim died for every single year because they weren't worthy. That takes a tremendous willpower of holding back. But the Rebbeinu Shlom does it in order to correct Klal Yisrael, but to hold back and not let leash his wrath against them when they shouldn't be able to get away with it. That takes a tremendous amount of willpower, a tremendous amount of gvura. Said the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila, Osu inhu, they came along, va'omru, adarabba, zuhi gevura, zuhi gevurasai, shekoivish has kasai, that he controls his anger, shenoisen erech apayim l'rishoyim. For those corrective measures, he gives erech apayim to the rishoyim. So Gibor went back, was replaced, it was put in again. What's with Noira? What should we do about Noira? The fact is that they do what they like, and the Rabbi Shem doesn't take shochat. Said that Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, they don't do what they like. That's the famous Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. Take a look at Jewish history. The Jewish people survived through thick and thin. Throughout all the terrible persecution, somehow or rather, they still exist. And if they could do what they like with impunity, they would have slaughtered and knocked out Klal Yisrael years and years ago. The Rabbi Yisrael doesn't allow it to go to that degree. He holds himself back. That's his gvura. But you can see his neuroas by the fact that they can't do what they want with impunity, because if they would have wanted to, sometimes if they haven't tried, they would have knocked us out years ago. Everyone knows that the existence of Klal Yisrael is a complete miracle. Rome, Persia, Babylon, they've gone, they've come and they've gone. But Klal Yisrael endures, they keep going, even though they have to suffer the most tremendous persecution. And it's not as if they haven't tried. Just having gone through the kinnas. Never mind in the Roman times, stories of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Hanina ben Taradion. Just read them in the kinnas today. They've tried their guts out to knock us out. What I did just now, what I did was I thought we should do a little bit of 3 or 4 minutes of Jewish history of Europe. And I jotted down a few, just to know, just to show you that they've tried. Take the Crusades in 1096. We read that in the kinnas as well. Worms, Speyer, Mainz. We read that today. It's not as if they haven't tried. In 1260, the blood libels began in England. That's when they began. In 1264, thousands were murdered in Germany. The Council of Vienna decreed that all Jews wear pointed dunces caps. Women had to wear 2 blue ribbons in their scarves. In 1270, there was a libel of counterfeit coins in Bonnie, England, here in this country, and hundreds of Yidden were hung and burnt in England. In 1242, that famous 24 wagon loads of manuscripts were burnt in Paris. 24 wagon loads were burnt in Paris. You need to understand what that means, 24 wagon loads in Paris. Just in Paris alone. This is before the invention of the printing press. Do you understand how many thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of writing went up in flames? Think of how many wagons can be piled with manuscripts. Gone. That was in 1242. The printing press was invented in 1445, I think. 1445. We're talking about 1242. Everything was handwritten. Gone up in flames. In 1290, expulsion of English Jewry. 1360, Hungarian Jewry. 1450, Bavarian Jewry. 1492, Spanish Jewry. 1505, the Inquisition was established. The Cossacks, Khmelnytsky, and down to our days, the Holocaust and the Arabs, how we're surrounded today by enemies constantly baying for our annihilation. It's not as if they haven't tried. So the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, that shows the neurois of the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's koivish as Yitzroy. We can put back Gibor, but we can put back Noira as well, because he doesn't allow the annihilation of Klal Yisrael. That shows that they don't get away with it completely. And Chazal say in Medrash Rabbah, Kol ha'ofos k'shehen yegein, all birds when they are tired, ninuchin al gabei sela, they rest on a rock. They come down to rest. They stop flying. The hayoina, the dove, the homing pigeon, which travels thousands of miles, b'shor shiyageya, when it used to rest, pirachas ba'achas, it flaps one wing, v'ninoichas ba'achas, and it rests the other. So when it comes to Klal Yisrael, when there's a tzora in one part of the world, Klal Yisrael at peace in another part of the world. So there's always a possibility of restoration. Tzedoka osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu shepizron. It's a tzedoka that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to Klal Yisrael that he scattered them throughout the world. Shela yuchlu l'chaloisom, that they're not able to annihilate them, because if they start annihilating them in one place, then in another place they are safe. And so Klal Yisrael endure and endure and endure. That's only because of the Chazdei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Somehow they always survive, flourish and regenerate. Rommel got as far as the gates of Yerushalayim, as it were. He was in Egypt and was stopped by Montgomery. Imagine he'd got into Eretz Yisrael. He was stopped there, and Eretz Yisrael was left in peace. Look at the Limud HaTorah which takes place in Eretz Yisrael today. Thousands of years of Torah learning in Europe went up in flames in 5 years between 1940 and 1945. And today Torah has regenerated in the world more than it was beforehand. And Eretz Yisrael, Torah is flourishing with all the problems with the secular. Torah is flourishing like it never flourished before. Rommel was stopped just there. And Torah was allowed to regenerate in Eretz Yisrael. Famous story of Rabbi Elyon Meir Bloch. When Rabbi Elyon Meir Bloch wanted to re-establish the Yeshiva of Telz in Cleveland, he was looking for a Ktsos HaChoshen. It's a very famous story. He was looking for a Ktsos to create a new library. And he went to a Moichas Sforim in the Lower East Side. And he asked for a Ktsos. And the Moichas said, "Are you mad? A Ktsos in America? 1 minute." And he went up to his attic, and there in the darkest, dustiest corner of his attic, he found a ktsos. And he came down to Rabbi Elyon Meir Bloch, and he said, "I'm charging you $3. Now $3 in those days was a hamoin, a tremendous amount of money. He said, "I'm charging you $3. He said, "$3? He says, "Well, of course, this sefer has antique value. This is an antique. This is the last ketzos that will be sold on these shores in America. I'm charging you $3. Rabbi Elyon Meir Bloch, angrily paid the $3 and said, "You'll see." How many ketzos HaKoshens are there in America today? That really is Noira. And that's how the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila restored HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory in its rightful place. Because it's they who composed the Shemona Esra. The Shmoneh which we say, Alekei Avrom, Alekei Yitzchak, Alekei Yaakov, Kael, Hagodol, Hagibor, Vanoiro, Kael, El Yoy, that's the restoration of the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila in our Shmoneh Esra. This was institutionalized for the Jews to say, for Klal Yisrael to say at all times. But what about Yirmiyo and Daniel? They couldn't say it. How could they drop, though? They never said they couldn't say it. How could they drop that which Moshe Rabbeinu had instituted? And the Gemara itself asked the question. The Gemara asked, how could they drop it? Says the Gemara, fascinating, Teret Omer Rabbi Lozo, Mitoy sheyodim shehakodesh boch b'hakodesh boch sheamitihu lefi koch lekizvu boy. Because they know that a Rabbi Mishlanim is MS, the choshme shel hakodesh boch is MS, like his Rubai, they didn't want to be false, they didn't want to utter a falsehood, so they didn't say Noira. Ask Rabbi Dessler, famous Rabbi Dessler, and is elaborated by the Sifsei Chaim. Ask Rabbi Dessler, do you think that Yirmiyah and Daniel couldn't have worked out the Noira and the Giboy of the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila? We're talking about the greatest prophets, the greatest in the Nevi'im, and we have a cloud that those who come before are greater. You think they couldn't anticipate and work out that Giboy can mean that Yitzchak is Yitzchak, and that Noira means that Klal Yisrael survive? says Rav Dessler, that Rav Bonshan expects absolute integrity. And in this circumstance, we have to understand that Yirmiyahu Delir lived b'toich tzorah. And b'toich tzorah, they had a conflict with their emotions and their intellect. Of course, their intellect could work out that Gibor and Noira means what the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah said. But emotionally, they were unable to integrate it. Yirmiyahu was in jail. He saw Nebuchadnezzar surrounding. He knew what was going to happen. He felt it. Daniel was in Babylon. He saw the bedraggled state of Klal Yisrael. He knew what, he felt it. Intellectually, they could handle it. But says Rav Dessler, in terms of integrity, if there's a stira between your intellect and your emotions, then that still is not MS. And therefore they weren't able, even though they knew intellectually that Noira and Gibor could be translated differently, but emotionally they couldn't integrate, it would have been wrong and a falsehood to say it. It was only the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah who instituted already when Koresh had allowed Klal Yisrael to go back to Eretz Yisrael. They could already step back from the tragedy and they could look at it through much more objective eyes, that they were able to verbalize that which Yirmiyahu and Daniel knew intellectually but couldn't handle it emotionally. They were able to handle it emotionally as well. And so they institutionalized in our tefillahs. And now that we have tefillahs, whatever happens, these are the words of Anshei Knesset HaGdolah who look at it from above and they see the whole history of Klal Yisrael. We are able to say whatever state we're in it, because this is the institutionalized tefillahs of Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. Similar today, 60 years after Holocaust, we're not yet ready to be able to understand what took place. But one day, our Gedolim will explain it to us. In parenthesis, it's interesting to note how clever our Chachomim were, how they understood the psyche of a person. The halacha is that if you hear good news, you say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Hatov V'Ameitiv. And when you hear bad news, you say, Baruch Dayan Emes. When somebody dies, you say, Baruch Dayan Emes. Do we not have a klal called the Ovid Rachmona, the Tav Ovid? Do we not have a klal that whatever Rabbi Shlom does is for the good? Why don't we say when somebody dies, Chas V'Shalom, Rachmona Islam, Baruch Atah Hashem, Lekim Lachlom, Hatoi V'Ameitiv? The answer is because Chazal understood the psyche of a person, they expect emes and tefillahs. They wouldn't institute a bracha which at the time when we make the bracha internally we can't internalize. We might know it's Hatoi V'Ameitiv, but internally we can't see the good when the pain is so hard. So intellectually you can, but you can't handle it internally, emotionally. Therefore they instituted a bracha which is avada emes in all circumstances, baruch dayan emes. The Rabban Shem is emes by definition. Make that bracha, but you don't have to make a toy valley. But it doesn't take away from the truth that the extremes of Jewish history show the guiding hand of the Rabbi Nishonim. These extremes, on the one hand we can have Koinim Gedolim dying every year, on the other hand a few years later they can do what they like in there. Those are absolute extremes. They themselves show the Ashkocho Potis and the Yad Hashem, the Akadosh Baruch Hu's puppeteering, because these extremes don't happen with ordinary people. The extreme that Nebuchadnezzar and Tito can do what he likes, at the same time we last and last and last and last, is also abnormal. The fact that we have these extremes in Klal Yisrael show that the Yad Hashem is still with us. And you know something? You know who understood this? I hate to bring in the Purim story here because it's Tisha B'Av, but if you're looking for an example of Anhogas Hashem, the Purim story is a perfect story. Things had suddenly taken a turn for the worse. Haman, who had been riding in glory, was suddenly, the king had a bad dream and he suddenly had to take Mordechai out on the streets. Things had turned topsy-turvy. Listen to what Zeresh, his wife, understood. Imizera ha-Yehudim Mordechai asher achi lo yisolim poi lefonov lo tucho loi ki nofoil ti poi lefonov. If Mordechai, before whom you have begun to fall, is of Jewish descent, you will not prevail against him but will undoubtedly fall before him. Ask Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi, what's this double expression, nofoil tipoil, you will surely fall? Dorash Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi, shtei nefilos halolu lama. What's the two nefilos? Amulai, umazu meshul la'ofa, umeshul la'kechovim. Klal Yisrael meshul la'ofa, to dust, and the Meshulah Kechobim. Kesheim Yardim, Yardim Adla Ofo. Ukeshein Oilim, Oilim Adla Kechobim. Things don't happen normally with Klal Yisrael. They're either all the way up, or they're all the way down. And that shows the Yad Hashem. How can that be? That why would she stop there? So Mordechai, so things have got a little bit worse for Haman. He can rectify the situation. He has to fill it. No. Once Mordechai has changed his position, where was Mordechai beforehand? Mordechai beforehand was sitting with Sako, with Ofe. He was sitting with 22,000 Tinoikas. Sakva Efer. Was in the most terrible doldrums, praying for salvation. The whole of Klal Yisrael were doomed to annihilation. You think that's normal? When do you hear that? That's abnormal. And all of a sudden, Mordechai is leading Hamas? That's just abnormal. If Hachilosef, you've started that, then you're talking about Klal Yisrael. If you talk about Klal Yisrael, once they start rising, they rise always to the height. Once they start falling, they fall all the way down. But that itself shows the Yad Hashem, because it doesn't happen to normal people. Doesn't happen with normal nations. Yosef HaTzadik, forerunner of Klal Yisrael. Where was he? In the deepest pit. Bira Amikta. He was in the deepest pit. And for one moment he left me. Bira Amikta Le'igra Roma. He's standing on the highest roof. He's standing viceroy. From down in the pits of a dungeon, all of a sudden he's made a viceroy. You think that's normal? That's the story of Klal Yisrael. That's the Neiroes the Rabbeinu Shalayim. The Golus goes on. The Golus goes on and it goes on. But that in itself shows that's abnormal. It's not as if they haven't tried. They've tried hard enough. We're surrounded by them. Even today, the Rabbeinu Shalayim makes sure that Klal Yisrael endure. That's an extreme which doesn't happen with any other nation. That's an extreme which everybody is moide is abnormal. And that's what shows the Yad Hashem. That's what shows the Rabbeinu Shalayim is still puppeteering and looking after us, and the day of Mashiach will still come. And I choose this subject because it's so difficult. It's so difficult to integrate this. We know where we're holding. We're not fooling ourselves. By this afternoon, we'll be wandering to our holidays in our minds. By tomorrow, we'll all be charging off. That's the way we are. And I think that's a little bit because there's a bit of yush. Year after year after year after year, we still don't see Mashiach. Somehow, psychologically, we meet eyes. It didn't happen last year, it's not going to happen this year. But we don't realize that the longer the golus, the more the neurois of the Rabbeinu Shalayim. And he will come. He will come, the Vados. I want to end, because it's 22 and it's time for Mincha, with the famous words of the Yaivas. The Yaivas in his Hakdomah to his Siddur, very famous, says the following. Listen to his words. Kola umois hakadumois hoatsumois ovad zichrom. All the famous nations, civilizations of former times are gone. Valsforum sot silom, they've disappeared. For onu hadvekim bashem, kulonu chayim hayoim, lo nifkad mimenu bekol toikef arichas goloseinu, in the length of our golos nothing has been dropped, afilo ois v'nikud echod mitoyu shebiksav, not one word of toyu shebiksav has been lost, that's a miracle. For chol divrei chachomim kayomim, lo yate lo oretz, nothing has dropped, has disappeared, not for Toshav Iksav, and not for Toshav Apeh. Lo sholat bohem yad hazman v'lo kolim. The zman has not been able to knock us out. Ma yana b'zeh philosoph charif. What will the greatest and sharpest philosopher answer this? Ha yad ha-mikra ososo kolela. Can this be ascribed to happenstance? I've told you the story, because it was the greatest guy, and we have to quote the guy. I've said this story 1,000 times. You've got to. I'm finished. The famous story of Louis XIV and Pascal, the famous Pascal, Louis XIV. Louis XIV said to Pascal, he said, I see the laws of nature. I see the sun rising in the morning, I see the sun setting in the evening. I only see the laws of nature. They say there's a God of history who controls history and nature. Prove it to me. I don't see the laws of nature. Prove it to me. And Pascal, the famous scientist and philosopher, turned around and didn't bat an eye at it. He said, the Jews, your majesty, the Jews. If you want to see somebody controlling history and nature, just look at the Jews. The story of the Jews is absolutely incredible. It doesn't make sense. You can't explain it. This is what the Ivan said hundreds of years beforehand. That's what Pascal said to Louis the 14th. Chei nafshi. Ki bespoinani benifloiz la'avoseinu b'mitzrayim uva midbo. Chei nafshi. Ki bespoinani benifloiz eile. God lu etzli yoyse mikol nisiv nifloiz sha'osa Hashem izborach la'avoseinu b'mitzrayim uva midbo. When I think of the arichas ha'golus and the survival of Klal Yisrael, to me it's a greater miracle then Mitzrayim, Midbar, Eretz Yisrael. V'chol ma she'orach ha'golus yoseh, the longer the golus goes on, nis'ameis ha'nes, the nes becomes more truthful, yoseh, v'noide ma'aseh tokvoi u'gvorasah. The strength and the control and the hashgacha pratis of the Ribbono Shel Olam on Klal Yisrael gets bigger and bigger with our Arichas HaGolus. So however miyayish we are psychologically, the mere fact that I'm standing here today and talking to you, to an Olam of Bnei Torah, to an Olam of Shema and Mitzvahs, Lo Nifkad Oisecho from Torah Shebiksav, Lo Nifkad Oisecho from Torah Shebapeh, and we're here talking about it, is the biggest raya that Mashiach will come. And so I say to you, and we've got still a few hours of Tisha B'Av. Let's try not to focus on tomorrow. Let's try and tune in still. I just read yesterday from Rav Pinkas, Rav Shimshon Pinkas. He said, you know, it's easy to dance on Sifas Torah. It's even easy to cry on the Yom HaNoiroyim. But to cry on Tisha B'Av is not so easy. You know, Chmon Islan, if you go to a Levaya, who are the ones who cry most? Those who are closest to the mess. To cry in Tisha B'Av means that you're close to the Golus de Shechinta, that you feel the Golus de Shechinta. The Arich HaGolus has gone on too long. But from the Arich HaGolus itself, we know that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. That the Lomo, the Netzach Tishkochenu, Tavrein L'Arif Yomim. That's what our tefillah should be. We should tune in, and we've got a few hours left, even though it's more kuladik this afternoon. Let's try still and spend the next few hours before we go on holidays trying to tune in to the Gadlus HaBoreh, to the Matzav HaKlal Yisrael, and pray with all our hearts that the Gula should come, the Mashiach, the Meher Yomeinu.